another way of saying the Doobie Brothers' great line about once were once vices are now habits. And that, again, is how oppression works. Earlier this week, I was reading a hard-boiled detective pulp novel from the 1960s, and some hard-boiled detective stuff is really good, and this was not. I only read about 20 pages because it was frankly pornographic, and the interesting thing though was I read about 20 pages, and in this case, the definition of pornographic that I'm using is one that was given to me by my eighth grade teacher, which is that if the sex adds to the plot, that's okay. And if the plot adds to the sex, that's pornographic. And this was basically just excuses to put women in demeaning situations and then to demean them. But there was a very interesting thing, and I don't want to be too broad about this, but there is a movement I see here, which is there was a scene early on where the woman is prostituted out by her boyfriend, and then the John abuses her and then abuses her a lot more. And the thing that struck me as really interesting is to see the evolution of pornography between 1960 something and now. And the difference is that, or one of the differences is that, even though this was still meant to arouse males, it was clear in the scene that the woman did not in any way enjoy this degradation. And the degradation was seen by the author and by the reader as a bad thing, but it happened anyway. And now, of course, with the sort of ascendancy of sadism through queer theory, BDSM, no kink shaming, etc. I mean, look at 50 Shades of Grey, where now the degradation is seen as quite often as a good thing, as something that she wants, something she enters into voluntarily. And the hesitation I have in making too broad a statement here is that we can find examples from the 50s and 60s and before of the degradation of women where the male writers primarily, you know, all sorts of writers who are metabolized into this pornographic system, will present the women as being voluntarily degraded. And we can find examples certainly today of pornography where the thrill is that the women are saying no, and then that no is being overridden. But by and large, the general movement, the general evolution of pornography has been to, make it move from something that is recognized as bad, recognized as harmful, but it's done anyway, to being purely accepted. And of course, this is mirrored in, for example, back in the day, if someone wanted to go to a porn shop, that was quite often one had to go to a sort of skeevy part of town and slink in. And nowadays, I just saw the other day an advertisement for some TV program, I think on TBS, some sitcom where a routine part of it is, there is a guy happily in a strip club, and it's that has mainstreamed, and that has become a part of the mainstream culture. And this is how oppression works. And, you know, when I was in my 20s, I was a much less experienced writer, and I came up with good lines less frequently. But in my 20s, one of the best lines that I wrote was there was a story I wrote about living in a house that a cat had pooped all over the basement, the dirt basement, in areas that were not very easily accessible, and there was a the air intake for the furnace was down there, and so the entire house smelled like cat poop. And I had a line that was one of my favorite lines from my 20s, which was, at first the stench really got to me, but after a while I got used to it and then it didn't bother me anymore. And that's another way of saying the Doobie Brothers great line about once were once vices are now habits. And that again is how oppression works, that at first it's awful and you resist, and then, you know, resistance is kind of pain. So, yeah, it's okay. And then when you're fully Stockholm syndromed into it, when you're fully metabolized into the system, you either see it as just a part of life or as something good.